Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
This week is Traveller Pride Week, but don't let the title fool you as it lasts for a fortnight. This week and next, a variety of live and online events will celebrate traveller culture and identity. Rosemary Maughan is one of the coordinators and Martin Mahon is an actor and activist. They join us both now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Rosemary and Martin.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Thank you both for talking to us
and
today.
And thanks so much for having us during this such
Thanks for having us on the air. Yeah.
That's no problem at all. Martin, I'll start with you. Because I suppose it's about culture and identity. As an actor, do you often get the opportunity to express that culture and identity to the wider Irish population?
That's an interesting question to start off with. I think, firstly, the idea of the whole Traveller Pride thing is an amazing concept, because I think it shines light on our community in all different areas of society that we are excelling in. There's so many traveller people excelling in different areas that you wouldn't hear about in education, sports, drama, politics and arts. So this ceremony kind of gives them a highlight and then gives them an award for it. And we have an amazing ceremony and everything representing it. And it's just an amazing thing that I think should have been around for a long time, only that it's in establishment now. Secondly, I think coming out as a recognisable traveller actor, and I think John Connors made it magically clear when he said that when he picked up the award at the BAFTAs, he still didn't have an agent. So it's very, very hard to be an open traveller actor in the industry, because you're typecast and you're stereotyped before they even look at your self-tape or even interview when you've come out and as an activist, an active traveller actor. So stuff like that is what you're trying to change. But that's one of the roles that I want to change going forward. And I see myself in, luckily enough, to be a part of an RT production in November. You see myself tackling those type of issues and tackling the stereotype of the 21st century actor going into this generation and stuff like that. So, no, it is, you're taking on a mountain, you're taking on a pedestal to climb. But I think if the right people can infiltrate it, we can make a big difference for traveller actors to get their arts portrayed in a positive way through their performance.
Does that come with a degree of responsibility, Martin, that as an actor, that's your job? That every time you're offered a part, you kind of have to represent a larger community as well, who might be judging whether you're depicting them accurately or not.
I mean, that kind of comes down to the person as well. I would say it depends on how much they want to wear their status and their label on their sleeve, almost. And if they really want to conduct themselves into every production with that label and stigmata. Of course, you can do that. But I think that people who are becoming traveller activists and who are using their platform through sports or through arts like myself will come out as a recognisable traveller representative. So yes, I do think that when you come into those areas or you become involved in a big type of production, of course you're going to face those type of stigmatas, you're going to face personalities that might not agree with it or mix with it, but that's what we're there for, to change the public opinion, change the perception, and to let them know that we're just as talented as the rest of them and that we deserve every chance as much as the next person, and that we just want equal respect, really, and equal chances.
Rosemary, I suppose a lot of the settler community mightn't really know what traveller culture means, or they might have a negative view of what traveller culture means. So what is traveller culture? Give us examples of that.
Well, I think, first of all, to answer your question, I think that the wider society needs to get to know about traveller culture from actual travellers. Please do not watch stereotypical programmes on television about who we are unless we are leading those shows. Because traveller culture is beautiful, it's wonderful, it has survived generations of assimilation and policies put upon us. And that is so evident if you just look at travellers. Like I always say, it's so ironic. We're a nomadic people, but yet in our own country, we cannot be nomadic. And that speaks volumes. And that is because if we go back as far as 1963 and we look at the commission report on itinerancy, that was solely about absorbing us into general society to find the final solution of itinerance. That is not far away from Hitler's attitude and beliefs during the Holocaust. So we have to start there. And that's what travellers are trying to resist. And we have resisted that for generations in our own country. And I think that's what leads us nicely into this year's theme of Stronger Together. Because travellers, we are so strong, we are resilient people, and we have safeguarded our culture. And when I'm talking about safeguarding our culture, I have to mention the passing of Michael McDonough, one of our key champions, Lord rest him, who was laid to rest yesterday. But he protected our history, our traveller identity, our storytelling, our language cant. And I think it's so important that we dedicate this year, Traveller Pride Week, to Michael McDonough, one of our key champions. And it's so important for people to know that family is very important to us, not just the immediate family, but the extended family. And it just feels that some of our culture has been eroded by past state policies, by people not standing up with us as meaningful allies, and just watching us and watching our children living without water. Something as basic as water. I mean, we're in a global pandemic, and it took a global pandemic for some traveller families to get emergency services despite funding available. It took a global pandemic for traveller children to get water and portable toilets. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it really broke my heart when I was watching overnight in Dublin City that portables and facilities were provided overnight for street drinking, while traveller children had no water and no toilets. Now, this is a situation that travellers are living in. And it's so important that we get to talk about our oppression within Traveller Pride Week. But Traveller Pride Week is something so positive. It's joyous. Given this year, it's a bittersweet because we've lost one of our key champions. But it's the opportunity for the wider society to come get to know us, from us, to celebrate our achievements, to celebrate our culture, to celebrate our contributions to our society. Because every day it goes unnoticed.
Yeah.
There's so many stereotypes that people jump on and they don't see what we have actually given to Irish society.
Could you give us an example, Rosemary?
We have given so much to Irish traditional music and it's not recognised.
Mm. Right, that's definitely true. We are the original storytellers as well. And let's just throw that in there also.
I want to thank you both very much for speaking with us today. That was Martin Mahon there, actor and traveller rights activist, and Rosemary Mahon, National Traveller Accommodation Policy Officer. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. Now, while tattoos can be a form of self-decoration, they can also have a medical application, particularly for people who've undergone various forms of surgery. But this isn't just a matter of putting a butterfly over a scar. This is often highly skilled 3D tattooing. Kristen Carroll is a paramedical tattooist with Derm Art Aesthetics in Dublin. And Kristen joins us now on News Talk. Kristen, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Tell us something about the training you had to do for this.
Okay, so I knew I wanted to do paramedical tattooing, medical tattooing. But as a precursor to that, I had to do a diploma in cosmetic tattooing. So that would be like eyebrows, eyeliner, lips and stuff. So I did that diploma and then I went on to do my medical areola and stuff training.
Right, okay.
In the UK, yeah.
And so give us some examples of the sorts of things that a paramedical tattooist would do.
So I myself personally do the nipple and areola restoration, mainly for ladies who have had breast cancer and breast like reconstruction. So I would do those. Also for, I tattoo some webbed toes. So people would come to me who have that that web in between more than two toes sometimes.
Yeah.
So I can tattoo a shadow then into there to make it look like there's a gap between the toes.
Right, okay.
But it would be mainly areola and nipple tattoo.
We don't have a fantastic line, so I don't know if people got that. So if someone has webs between their toes, you kind of shade it so it looks like there isn't a web between the toes. Is that
exactly
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So by having a look at the whole, taking the whole, the entire foot, and see which way the toes go and which way the shadows fall in the toes beside, I then tattoo a shadow in on the web. So it looks like there's a gap in between the toes as well.
Yeah. And
which is really, really...
And for breast reconstruction, is it that they can't create, kind of in that process, they can't physically create a nipple, so it has to be kind of tattooed in there?
Well, sometimes a nipple can be created. So the surgeon will create a nipple mound from using skin from a different part of the body. So the mound is created on top of the new prosthesis. So if you like, it's all skin coloured. So then I would tattoo in the areola area and the nipple. And sometimes there's no mound, so it's literally flat skin. So you'd have to use a different technique then to have a 3D effect. So there's no nipple there, but to look at it, it looks like there's a nipple.
Right.
Protrusion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And the kind of pigment that you use, is, as I understand, it's quite different from your normal tattoo pigment.
It would be, yeah. It's I use medical grade iron oxide pigments. So they differ in from body ink tattoo. The molecules and stuff are a different size. So that's the whole science of it. But basically, they will fade. They'll fade over time. And that's a good thing, in my opinion, because the body changes over time. So if I put an areola or something onto a 30-year-old woman, when she's 65, if it's permanent, it's not going to look natural.
Yeah.
So it's good that they fade and stuff, because every couple of years you can work at what's there. You know, modify it slightly to suit how the body is at that stage.
And when somebody has this done, who refers them to you? Is it a doctor that refers them, or do they just have to find out about it by themselves?
So for initially, I contacted the breast clinic in Beaumont, and I took ladies off the waiting list there, and I treated them at no cost. So some of them would have been waiting a very long time for this treatment. And then sometimes it's not quite like a woman looking up somewhere, I can get it. She can have her eyebrows done or something, or some sort of aesthetic treatment. But sometimes women will go and search, and they have found me that way on Google. So they contact me.
Right, okay.
And then one or two surgeons then would have sent me referrals.
Can you get it on the HSE, or do you have to pay for it?
So it is provided on HSE, but it's like any other service, I suppose. It, within the health service at the moment, there's a waiting list. So very often women are left waiting, you know, for the call to have the treatment done. And as I say, one or two might pick up, you know, the phone or whatever and seek it out. But generally, people will wait until they're called. And sometimes that can take years.
Yeah, indeed. Kristen, for speaking with us today. That was Kristen Carroll there, a paramedical tattooist with Durham Art Aesthetics in Dublin. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.